Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Volunteer Country on SI podcast. Today, we're talking some baseball. I'm your man, Jack Foster, and with me today, I got Jake Nichols. And before we get started here, I do want to tell you guys about Acker Travel Company by Dream Vacations. If you're looking to book travel at any time during the year, be sure and give our friends Beth and Price a call at Acker Travel Company. If you're looking to skip all that monotonous work of booking that travel, they'll just do it for you. And on top of that, we'll throw in a free $50 Visa gift card. I mean, what is there to lose, people? Go ahead and give them a call now at 678-983-2172 or visit their website at backer.dreamvacations.com to book. All right, Jake, let's get rolling here. There's an SEC tournament champion on campus in Rocky Top, and it's the 2022 Tennessee Baseballs, the first time in 27 years. Just how special is this for Tennessee baseball, for where this, you know, UT Athletics is moving?
I think it's incredibly special. You know, you look at the last time Tennessee won an SEC tournament title, and I asked Tony Vitello about that with Rod Delmonico, and, you know, this program accomplishing something that hasn't been done in that long, but also just the fact that they're dominating in the way they are could be the first 60-win team in college baseball since the 80s. They're rolling on all cylinders, and it is really cool to see. But, yeah, like you said, the athletic department just firing on all cylinders as well. Obviously, baseball is doing great. Basketball did well as Tennessee became the first school ever to win the SEC basketball and baseball tournaments in the same year. And then obviously Josh Heupel's pulling some recruits as well. So everything is going swimmingly right now on Rocky Top.
Yeah. Soccer made a pretty good hire bringing in Kurt, and obviously the Lady Vols are always going to be among the best in the country. So everything. Oh, and tennis, they made what, the Final Four?
There you go.
Champagne. Yeah.
Yeah.
So everything's moving in the right direction. Danny White's got everything firing on all cylinders. And if you throw hate at him on Twitter, he'll respond to you. Did you see that, Jake?
Yeah, I did. That was great. And it, I think, exemplified just how great of a fit not only Danny, but this athletic staff is for this fan base, coming off the top rope at somebody.
It was an all-time response, man. The picture of a family. No, I didn't see it. How'd it go? He's right on the field with his family celebrating with the team. So it was a really cool. You should go check it out. May release an article on it later at Volunteer Country for more information. But yeah, so let's talk about this baseball tournament and kind of recap. I know we podcasted after the Vanderbilt win when they dominated the Commodores 10-1. Since then, they beat LSU 5-2 in a raucous Hoover environment. Both LSU fans and Tennessee fans showed out. Tennessee won 5-2 in a pretty close game. Closest game they played all tournament. They beat Kentucky, which was close for about 7 innings. They had a offensive explosion in the 8th and 9th innings to win 12-2 over the Wildcats. And then they downed Florida 8-5 in the championship game on Sunday. First, I want to talk about the Tennessee pitching because, you know, this tournament is grueling. You know, it's day by day. You're having to use a lot of arms. We saw Florida and Kentucky get worn down. But Tennessee didn't really get worn down. You know, they start Blade Tidwell, then they go Chase Dolander, and then they go a Beam Burns combo, which I thought was a spectacular decision by Tony Vitello. Then they start Camden Sewell in his first start of the season on Sunday, and he's lights out. So I just want to get your overall thoughts just of how deep this pitching staff is and, you know, your takeaways from their performance throughout the tournament.
Yeah, I thought Blade Tidwell obviously did well against Vanderbilt. Chase Dolander, obviously, he ended up being named to the all-tournament team, and rightfully so. He was the most spectacular through 6.2 innings and was just phenomenal against LSU. I think that performance especially is one that is going to be remembered for a long time. But then just the way that they use those arms all together is really impressive. Like you said, a great decision by Tony to go Beam and then Burns. And especially with the way he described that, you know, last minute, what was it? The index card, right?
Yeah. And he wrote his plan on an index card and told Chase 15 minutes before first pitch, hey, you're going to come out of the bullpen today.
So yeah, a great decision. And I think, you know, there's something that Tony has. He did it with Cam too on Sunday, but you know, just the nonchalant way he even goes about it, right? That, you know, all it takes is a message 15 minutes before first pitch, or, you know, a text from Cam that says, hey, I want the ball, to make him the starter. And it's that nonchalant approach too that I think works well too. Because if you even just think about that, you know, approaching a guy and not drumming it up any more than it is, just saying, hey, you know, you're throwing today, and then leaving it at that, letting him have time to get his mind right, do whatever he has to do, you know, I think is a great approach in and of itself. But like you said, they rotated well, and the fact that they haven't even gone through the majority of the pitching that they have. I mean, you've still got guys that, like Redmond Walsh, that finished out on Sunday, that didn't get a lot of innings in. Mark McLaughlin hasn't pitched a lot. You know, you've got more guys in this bullpen that you can put to excellent use in the NCAA tournament with a, I think, smaller amount of rest than guys like Dolander obviously would need, or Tidwell. But, you know, even Ben Joyce, he didn't have a great outing whenever he came in against the Gators, but just the heat that he throws is obviously incomprehensible. But, you know, I think that's kind of the key here is, you know, they talked last night on SEC Now about the power that's coming into Lindsey Nelson whenever these different teams come in. Georgia Tech, top 10 in the country in homers. Campbell, top 10 in the country in homers. But no team has the pitching depth that Tennessee has. And obviously it showed out on Sunday whenever Camden Sewell, a.k.a. the what was it Tim Owens called him, the Gator Slayer.
Yeah, that's a good name.
And did well. So obviously a big day for him. He shut down Florida last year in the tournament as well, and then did it on Sunday to help the Vols to an SEC tournament title.
Yeah, he just has Florida's number, man. I mean, he lit them up in the regular season too when he relieved Blade Tidwell. So it's just funny. But I want, you know, you went back to the regional, and I guess we can get into that. Oh, we can kind of
sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
Got a little ahead of myself there.
No, you're fine. I mean, look, this was the deal with the tournament. Tennessee was expected to win. They came in, they played well, they won. They're the best team in the SEC by a long shot, in my opinion, and they showed it. So that's pretty much what happened. They're going to go to Omaha, barring anything crazy. This team is really special. So let's move on to the regional and see who they're playing next. And they got Alabama State as the 4 seed in the Knoxville regional. Number 2 and number 3 seeds are Georgia Tech and Campbell. Now, you mentioned there's only 14 teams. Actually, I believe it's 15 teams. In the NCAA with 100 or more homers, 3 are in the Knoxville Regional in Tennessee, Campbell, and Georgia Tech. So, you know, these teams can hit, Jake. You know, they're not Tennessee, but they can hit. So what do you think about this draw that Tennessee got? And, you know, just these teams in general. I know we both probably haven't watched a lot of Georgia Tech or Campbell games this year, but just what was your reaction, your instant reaction to seeing those 4 teams who are coming to Knoxville, those 3 teams who are coming to Knoxville this weekend?
I think that the regional shouldn't give Tennessee much trouble, but I think that with, you know, Campbell, I saw where a couple of people were just talking about the fact that, you know, they have a staff that if things fall their way, they could make a couple moves. But overall, I don't think that looking through even just stats that this should scare Tennessee fans very much, just based on what we've seen from this team all season. They're going to have a huge home crowd behind them, obviously, as well. But I think that from Georgia Tech, especially, you're going to have a great performance from Kevin Parada. He's going to get his numbers, but you've got to be able to shut down the rest of that staff, because as you know, as they said, I guess last night, and then just looking through everything, these other teams aren't just kind of one player dominated, that, you know, they've got solid hitting as well, but it's just a matter of can they provide the defense as well? And I think that's where it really comes into question.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point there. And, you know, it's like, do you think that Campbell could potentially be a Wright State situation? I've seen some people ask that, and I personally don't think so. I don't think Tennessee is going to let themselves get Wright stated this year. Do you think that's a fair
yeah,
thing
I think,
say?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that, you know, that they know how talented they are, but they also know how well and or how easily they win games whenever they jump on teams early. And so I think you've got to come in just all business and be prepared to put up several early runs and kind of establish that, you know, dominance or mentality, whatever you want to call it, before Campbell really is able to get into it. Because last year, Wright State, you know, Tennessee let them hang around for far too long. And it was obviously ended well with a Drew Gilbert walk-off grand slam. But the fact that Tennessee put itself in that situation, I think they've got too much leadership and too much desire to, you know, focus on other things than to let themselves get bogged down in the first three or four innings of a slugfest with Campbell.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. So, you know, just talking this Tennessee baseball team, they have nothing to prove to anybody, I don't think, but, if you've seen anything that you want to see cleared up this weekend in the regional, you know, what would that be? Are you looking for anything in particular? Maybe a good Ben Joyce outing, maybe more use from the bullpen, whatever that could be. Maybe for Drew Beam to bounce back, that's probably mine. But is there anything you're looking for in particular in this regional?
Yeah, I would say a good Ben Joyce outing because, like I said, he kind of got hit a little bit there in the Florida game. And I think that, you know, just he was obviously throwing triple digits as he usually does, but I think you want to see maybe a little more control there and, you know, just see him dominate in the postseason the way he has for the most part in the regular season. But I mean, the reality is when you throw that hard, if somebody can square it up, they're going to hit it further than they would another ball just because he's throwing that hard. But yeah, I think I would like to see a better outing from him. And then just, I think, see maybe a, I don't know, maybe a coming out performance or not a coming out performance, but, you know, maybe see Cortland Lawson hit a couple homers. He had several big hits in the tournament, but I want to see him clear the fence a couple times. That would be fun. It feels like a guy with, you know, batting ninth in this lineup, it feels like that would be fitting for him to come into the postseason hitting dingers as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he did have a couple of big hits in the tournament. I mean, with these bats, it's hard to really pick anything negative. I mean, now that you're starting Blake Burke at DH almost universally, no matter if the lefty starts. Now, if they have an elite left-handed pitcher that they're going to go against as the postseason goes on, you're probably going to see Simo at DH and Luke will move down in the lineup. But yeah, I feel like their lineup is pretty solidified. Even if the lefty starts, Luke is really good in that two hole to get on base. He's just really good at it. And move Jarrell back to the six, play Blake at DH. And man, Jake, I know I might get sidetracked here, but we got to talk about Blake Burke's power. It is absolutely ridiculous. This guy is insane. How bright is the future for this kid at Tennessee? I mean, this dude just amazes me week in, week out. I tell, you know, rock solid guys about it all the time. I just cannot believe this dude's power.
Yeah, it really is unbelievable. I mean, you know, there's a reason that people are calling him the next great long ball hitter in college baseball. And it's because of things like what he did against Kentucky the other night. I mean, it is absolutely unreal when he steps up to the plate, and it's really fun to watch. But, you know, obviously it has provided a huge jolt for a Tennessee offense that maybe not necessarily needed it, but has certainly benefited from it.
And I think Tennessee fans will grow to really love Blake Burke and his time here because he has this like really palpable swagger, you know, like with that bat flip, like he just doesn't care. You know, he's just like, you know, and he's super quiet, like in the talking to him with the media, he doesn't say a lot, but it's not that he just doesn't want to be there. It's just, that's kind of how he is. So I like talking to him, even though he is quiet. And yeah, it's going to be fun to watch his journey at Tennessee. But getting back to the really important analysis here for this weekend, what would you expect the pitching to be throughout this weekend? Who gets the start against Alabama State? Who would get the start against Tech or Campbell in your eyes?
I think Blade gets the start against Alabama State. And I think I would go with I would say Dolander again against Campbell or Georgia Tech, just the way that he dominated last weekend. I think you've got no choice but to give him the ball again.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I'm kind of new to this NCAA baseball regional stuff, but if they beat Alabama State and then they on Saturday beat Georgia Tech or Campbell, is the regional over? There's no Sunday game.
I believe that's right. Yes.
Or is it like double elimination where Alabama State would play the loser of Georgia Tech Campbell?
I believe this one is double elimination. So I think that they would that it would go to Sunday regardless, but it's just a matter of whether it could go to Monday.
Oh, okay. So it's like, so if Tennessee beats Alabama State and then say they beat Georgia Tech on Saturday, whoever won against Campbell and Alabama State in the losers bracket would go to Sunday.
Then they would play Tennessee on Sunday. Yeah.
Gotcha. So we'll probably see a Beam or Burn start, I guess, on Sunday.
Yeah, if I'm remembering that right, because I remember they played Liberty twice last year.
Right. Yes. I remember that now. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And, I'm talking about supers. The Statesboro Regional is Georgia Southern as the one. They'll play UNC Greensboro, who's the four. And then the two is Notre Dame against number three, Texas Tech. So of those four teams, Tennessee knows one of them very well. Played them in 2021, has already played them in 2022, swept them to begin the regular season. If Georgia Southern is a really good baseball team. If they get out of their Statesboro Regional, come to Knoxville, what do you think that's going to be like with these two teams? I don't think they really like each other, to be honest, Jake. Sat in the tent that opening regular season series, and there was a couple of Georgia Southern fans could care less about the Vols. But so what do you think that matchup would be like in the Supers between the Eagles and the Vols?
Yeah, I think it would be really fun. Like you said, there is no love lost. And imagine Chase Dolander pitching against his former team with a College World Series berth on the line. My gosh.
Story writes itself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's honestly what's going to happen. I mean, I haven't watched much Notre Dame or Texas Tech baseball, but, you know, I've kept up with Georgia Southern pretty much all year, and they're good. They're good. Mm-hmm. They got a really good program. So Knoxville could see the Eagles come their way in a couple weekends. But Lindsey Nelson Stadium, man, it's going to be rocking this weekend. You know it's going to be just utterly packed. So, yeah, I don't even know. This Tennessee fan base and this Tennessee team continues to surprise. And, you know, is sky's the limit for this Tennessee team? And do you think that a College World Series champion should be the expectation?
I think that with what else they have done this year and with just the astronomical numbers that you've put together, that absolutely College World Series should be the expectation. The talent that this team has, they are the deepest team, and I think the most talented team in college baseball. And right now it is Tennessee versus the field. So that means if you don't win it, then there is a level of disappointment.
Yeah, there is a level, but it doesn't have to be.
But you're right.
Level.
You're right. But it doesn't have to be a high level. Right. It can still be. I mean, it's been a phenomenal season. Look, it's like they just won the SEC tournament championship a day or two or 2 days ago now. But it has been an incredible ride that a team that, you know, not a lot of people picked. Look, they were picked fourth in the East to start this season, and they just won the tournament title. They won the SEC regular season title, both of which have happened for the first time since 1995. And you've got a team full of guys that, you know, which Tony talked about, guys that have kind of come out of the woodwork that have waited for their shot and have finally made the most of it.
Yeah. You mentioned that fourth in the East prediction at the beginning of the season. I don't think anyone saw what Tennessee did this season coming, but I knew that was, they were going to surpass that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you just knew it. And it made, I think it probably gave this team a little bulletin board material.
Yeah.
So they proved everyone wrong. It's insane. They did. But yeah, Tennessee baseball will keep on rolling. Tony Vitello's got these guys rolling. And you know, it's just, this team is one of the most interesting teams I think I've ever seen in athletics, period, because their amount of emotion they're able to show, the amount of heart, you know, that they're able to put on display, the amount of trash talk a little bit, you know, with Drew Gilbert, and you never know what's going to happen there, but they can always find a way to make it, you know, happen on the field. They're right. Always concentrated. They're playing for each other. And it's just it's a team that reeks of a national champion. So we'll see what happens. But I would expect Tennessee baseballs to continue into Omaha and probably deep into Omaha, deeper than last year. So, yeah. And, Jake, it all starts this weekend. The NCAA Tournament Regional in Knoxville. First game against Alabama State on Friday night, 6 Eastern, in Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And then they'll play the winner, assuming they beat Alabama State, they'll play the winner of Georgia Tech and Campbell on Saturday around the same time at 6 Eastern in Knoxville. So, Jake and I will be there. Volunteer Country will have you covered all the way. Be podcasting probably another time this week before the tournament. Of course, Matt's got you guys covered with all the recruiting news. Lots been going over there with Josh Heupel. Probably the biggest recruiting weekend since his time at UT happened this past weekend. So Matt had you guys covered through all that. Jake, I do want to touch on a little bit of basketball news if you have the time before we head out today. Santiago Vescovi announced his intentions to, you know, withdraw from the NBA draft, and he's coming back to Rocket Top for his senior season, just like Josiah Jordan James announced about a week and a half ago. So what do you think about this? Santi and Joe are back. They got the two seniors. They got the two leaders back. And I think Tennessee basketball, the outlook for this upcoming season is at an all-time high right now.
Yeah, it absolutely is. With the guys you've got coming in, with a veteran core coming back, like you said, and Santi and Joe, you know, Rick Barnes talked about it at the end of their SEC tournament championship. Look, at the beginning of last year, after they had lost to Oregon State, you know, they came back. You've heard the story that he gave them, you know, what was it, the Michael Jordan story, and, you know, looked at Santi and Joe and said, it's going to start with you guys as far as leadership. And they took that and carried it all the way to the end of the season. You know, you saw player-led leadership developing throughout the team, and that's part of what helped lead them to an SEC tourney title. And to think that those guys are coming back, that core is coming back and is fully prepared to lead and kind of take that role head on going into their final year, I think it really bodes well with what those guys put together last year and for another great season this year, leading a talented group of young guys. And, you know, one I'm really excited about, obviously, from here in Knoxville, BJ Edwards, but all those guys together, it should be a lot of fun. Tyreek Key, it's going to be a great mix. And I think that Santi and Joe, with the experience they have, can really pull this group together. And like you said, kind of expound on the most exciting class that has been in the time Rick Barnes has been here.
Yeah, I mean, got 5-star power forward Julian Phillips coming in. He's probably going to be a one and done, so you know he's going to be elite. And then, like you said, Tyreek Key, this is it for him. This is a make or break season. He's got to ball out. The Indiana State transfer, super senior. And then, BJ Edwards should be fun. I don't expect he'll be Kennedy Chandler by any stretch, but he will be a very serviceable role player, probably coming off the bench for Tennessee. Obviously, Zakai's do what, yeah. Jake?
I was going to say to help Zakai Ziegler as well, who I know people are excited to have to watch in his sophomore year.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by how Rick Barnes is going to – who he's going to start day one. Because, you know, Zakai is so valuable off the bench. You don't want to start B.J. Edwards day one, in my eyes, unless he just really has a great summer. But like, who are you going to start at point? Is Santi going to move back to the point? I don't know what's going to happen. Tyreek Key can play the point. So they got a lot of options in the backcourt. And then Jonas Adu is only going to get better. Urosh is coming back. And you got Ollie coming off of injury with Julian Phillips. So the big guys are looking pretty good. I think the outlook should be really good right now. The wing, the 4-star wing, DJ Jefferson. I mean, you know, this class is good. And Tennessee basketball is going to be right back in the mix of top 15 in the nation pretty consistently throughout next season, I think. But, yeah, and then Kennedy Chandler, speaking of him, he's going to get drafted soon, Jake. It's a little less than a month now. And he's a surefire first round pick. That's for sure. Probably in the late teens, early 20 range, but he balled out, in some camps recently. He had a great vertical jump, 41.5, at the combine. So what are you expecting to see from Kennedy Chandler in the NBA? Do you think that he can make immediate impact on whoever he gets drafted by?
I'm not really sure about immediate impact. I think it honestly could be a little bit of a G League situation just to let him develop a little more.
Oh, okay.
I think I've heard what San Antonio or Memphis is two high possibilities, correct?
Yeah, they've had some They've been in some mocks. I've seen the Timberwolves in some mocks, seen the Nets in one. There's plenty of teams that have been in mocks. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but it'll definitely be interesting to see where he goes. You know, we'll keep you up to tabs on the website for all things Kennedy Chandler NBA draft. And Grant Williams is going to the NBA finals as well. So,
yep.
So the VFLs and the NBA, at least the one, and Grant Williams is killing it right now. So that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Volunteer Country on Sports Illustrated podcast. Thank you, Jake, for hopping on. And what you got planned for the rest of the day, buddy?
Right now, just looking through some photo content from the tournament and honestly trying to plan out how not to get sunburned this coming weekend, because I got a terrible one in Hoover and probably need to apply a little more sunscreen whenever those teams come to town for the regional.
I know you're a pretty tan dude, but sunblocks still exist for, you know, unpale guys like myself. So,
yeah, that's a hard lesson that I had to learn, and I am feeling the brunt of it right now. So I will be scoping out a couple more shady spots, but we will have you guys covered writing and photo and video content all weekend long.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And like I said, we'll probably be back talking some baseballs maybe Thursday, early Friday. We'll see what happens. But yeah, probably a full preview of the Alabama State matchup. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your Tuesday. And until we see you next time, hope everything goes well. For Jake, I'm Jack Foster, and this has been the Volunteer Country on SI Podcast.